but we have this treasure in clay glasses, so that the excellence of the power is from God and not from us, who are troubled in everything, but not distressed, in hardships, but not desperate, persecuted, but not helpless, knocked down, but not destroyed. Therefore, we don't lose heart, even though this inner man is wearing out, despite being renewed day by day. The best news we can receive in life is that someone paid a higher price for us, knowing that we were condemned to die an eternal death, knowing that sin had ended all the blessing of man, and that there was someone who loved us so much, called the Lord, called God, who sent his only son to rescue us, to save us, and to give us a new life, and a new life in abundance. That is the best news we can receive. Now, the problem is that many today have tried to get this news, but in a way that has not been correct. And we think that coming to God, he will simply solve our problems or help us, or do us a favor. Many times when we receive this word, we think that when we approach God, everything will change and everything will be fine. It's something important. God does not change circumstances. God changes people. God does not specialize in transforming the processes, because processes are the result of transformed lives. God transforms lives. In general, we always look for additions instead to long for what that life is in God, to transform our interior and renew our way of thinking, to begin to see life in the right way, begin to see life from the position which God sees it, or with the purpose for what God created us. That must be the right thing. But then we receive the good news and we misunderstand it, and we think that having God in our hearts will bring us a car, a house, and a scholarship. We think that with God in our heart, the storms are going to disappear. We think that having God in our hearts, then life is going to be rosy. Jesus himself at one point was speaking to the people who were listening around him, including his disciples. He told them, in the world, they are going to have afflictions. The processes, the afflictions, we are going to have to experience them almost every day. Every day that we get up, we have to make a decision. If you suddenly express yourself and tell me, I am bored, always the same, because I have not been able to get out of this or the other, everything we do is a consequence of what we are. We cannot think, we cannot speak what is outside of our nature. But yes, when God comes into your life, you will be transformed for what he is. And you will begin to understand that there is a purpose for what God developed in your life. And in the midst of the situations in the world, he wants to place you. God is going to work in you. He is going to work in your character. He is going to teach you. He is going to make you mature so that you walk according to his purpose, according to his will. Whatever happens in this world, I will have to face it. But now, when God is in me, when Christ is in my life, I begin to face it in a different way. That's why the day is the alternative. And although he said, in the world, they're going to have afflictions, he said something special. He said something important. They are going to have afflictions in the world, but trust, trust that I have conquered the world. Do you know what that means? That although you are in the world, when you belong to God, you do not belong to the world. And if there is something that must be clear, it's that the world affects those who are his. Now I speak to you of the world. Don't imagine the planet Earth. I am speaking to you. I am talking about the system. Everything that this system drags and teaches to the bad, they call it good. And to the good, they call it bad. when you open your heart to it and let God order, transform, and guide your life, you begin to understand that if there are difficult situations, we have to face them, of course, but He has already won. And that indicates that He is going to show you the way, that He is going to give you wisdom, that He is going to guide you in such a way that you can overcome. That's why the Apostle Paul wrote in the book of 2 Corinthians, what we just read right now, a particular advice begins to show us a reality that we have received a treasure. We have received good news that transforms the heart. And that good news, if we embrace it and we keep it, it will make us grow. It will make us and our reactions to the adversities of life, the moment we grow and mature, because either you can complain all the time or you can be looking at it bad all the time. You can make people feel sorry for you, or you can let God guide you, begin to teach you that you will see tribulations and that you can be in trouble and everything. Listen well, but not distressed. You can be in trouble at the same time. Of course, we can be in trouble, but not desperate. We can feel persecuted, but not helpless, and even demolished. They can knock you down at some point, but you will not be destroyed. It's the difference in each circumstance, as difficult as it may seem. This is an intervention of God. There is a wonderful move of God to raise you up and to show His power, which is greater than He who is with you, than those who rise against you. This reminds me of a young man who had three friends. A young man who was born in a golden cradle. And when his nation was taken, he was taken as a slave to a place called Babylon. His name is Daniel. And Daniel had three friends. At a certain time, the king of Babylon took them as slaves. Yes, they were the best, very wise, intelligent, capable young people. And a king, Nabuchadnezzar, what he wanted was to take them as slaves and to serve them in the kingdom. One day, Nabuchadnezzar lifts a statue and sends an edict in which all the people have to humble themselves in front of that statue. And three friends of Daniel had promised to be faithful to God. First, they were not contaminated with what the system could offer them. And although they knew that the punishment for not kneeling in front of the statue was death, they did not play with its principles. And they told those in charge that they were not going to kneel. And when Nabuchadnezzar appeared before them, they also said to him, and they were not going to kneel down. So Nabuchadnezzar said to them, for this reason, because they have not kneeled, I am going to throw them into a furnace. Wow, do you know what that means? An honor dedicating only to killing people, burning them? King Nabuchadnezzar sent to heat his furnace seven times more, to such an extent that the man or the jailers who were in charge of taking them to the oven, when they opened the oven to throw them there, they fell dead. Imagine the fire that gave off that oven. How much fire was there? They were inside the oven now. The Bible does not give any details of what they lived inside. But I think we could think for a moment about how we would feel when facing a situation of such magnitude. We are not going too far. How you feel when you are pressured. When you say, I am between a rock and a hard place. When you have to throw in a towel. When you have to resort to a trap in order to turn out well. In quotes, how many times have you had to hide the truth? or how many times have you had to sell the principles? This is a tremendous truth. They remained in their word. You know why? Because they believed. And their belief was not based only on words, but on actions. Because it's easy to say, I believe. It's easy to say, I believe. And think that things are going to be fine simply because I say that I believe. But faith requires actions. Faith requires works that show that you are really believing. It's important. The Bible says that faith without works is dead. And they said, we believe and love God. But how they showed it? With their actions. Would you ever get to despise your own life? For God's sake, I think this is a great question. What should we ask ourselves? We only approach God for the economic and for material things that we can receive. Now God blesses. Yes, of course. But how good when you love God for what He is. And then the rest, the car, the house, the school, and all the things you receive from others. You know that they are additions. They are simply results. But most importantly, that your heart is not set there, but in God. And they have to face the process. They have to face it. In life, you will have to face situations, which is what we will be victorious. That you allow God to rule your life and let Him direct your steps. That's where you will find victory. Perhaps there are times when we pray and we ask God that things do not happen, that events don't happen. Many times we have prayed to see God. Think, wait a moment. How many times have you asked the Lord, Lord, that this doesn't happen? Lord, that the other doesn't happen? Father, prevent this from happening. And when you finish praying, after a while, it happened. That does not mean that God does not love you. On the contrary, God wants to show His power through you and teach you that there are things that we have to face. To teach you that in life there are situations that we have to face. And that does not mean that God loved you more or God loved you less. No. In Ecclesiastes in chapter 3, if only you could read and understand it, that everything has its time. And it talks about the time to build and a time to destroy, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Everything has its time. And each time you have to know how to face it. But if God is not guiding your heart, if God is not taking control of our thoughts, but we are doing what we believe, we are going to end up badly. These boys believed God. They threw them into the oven. Nobody said what happened inside the furnace. But a moment came when Nebuchadnezzar appeared from a very far place where he could see. Not three people, but four people were inside the furnace who were circling in that place. I imagine that maybe they were singing. They were worshiping. When the men had to take them out of the fire oven, they did not smell a smoke, nor had a strain of their hair burned. Absolutely nothing happened to them. Do not expect God to prevent you from entering the oven. I hope you can understand me. Perhaps He will not prevent the oven from turning off, or that you don't enter into it. What I assure you is that He has promised to be with you always. He will be there and there with you. That is why although we are knocked down, we are not lost or desperate, because God is with us. Father, thank you for your word, for what we can receive today, Lord, because your word is faithful and it is alive. And that through this message you teach us, many times there are things that will not appear good, but it will be necessary to face them. But you have already conquered it for us. That's why our hope is intact. and our faith rises, Lord, governs our lives, and help us to walk in that sure victory. And I say sure victory, Lord, because on the cross, Jesus, you overcame death and rose again. And for you, Lord, today, we have life and life in abundance. This is a translation from your pastor and friend, Elias Hoyos. Please share this word to everyone you know. And I invite you to follow us on social networks on Instagram. You can find him as Pastor Elias HC. On YouTube, you can subscribe to our channel, Devotionals Just in Time.